Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's golf and other four-letter words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Sirius XM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. Got another wonderful show for you tonight. Got a very good friend in studio tonight, very interesting guy. Wonderful teacher, knows a lot about the golf swing, so a little bit later in the show, as you know, in Handicap Helper, he's going to be here and answering some email questions. You call him with live chat, he's going to help you, he's going to help me get better in the game that we all love to play. So without further ado, let me welcome my friend. He's a PGA teaching professional out of TPC Las Vegas at the PGA Tour Academy. Let's give it up for Mr. Matt Henderson.
Thank you, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm well.
Good. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Oh,
sit back, relax, have some fun. We are going to have some fun tonight. Before we get going, I assume somebody told me that your family founded the city of Henderson here in Las Vegas?
Sounds about right.
Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
So why were you born? Where the hell were you born? Wyoming?
I was born in Wyoming.
Okay.
Yes.
So obviously you were born somewhere else, and then they founded the city or something like
right.
that. Wouldn't it be nice to have a city founded by your mom and dad?
It would be. You should get like part of the state income tax.
Yeah, exactly. That would be very, very nice. Anyway, we're gonna have a lot of fun with Matt. As they say, very, very knowledgeable about the game. We've got a couple ways you can get a hold of myself. You can get a hold of Matt. And we've got email, of course, and that is simply golf@vegasvideonetwork.com. Okay, we've got a toll-free listener line for y'all. Simply 866-966-4599. So ring us up on that. And we also have live chat, where you can send in your questions and we could relay them to our guests. Just go to vegasvideonetwork.com, hit that live chat button, get in the live chat room, and you'll be cooking. And by the way, when you're on the site, you could check out all the other great shows right here, seen exclusively on vegasvideonetwork.com. Don't forget, we're also seen on YouTube. We're also seen on iTunes. That'd be fun. iTunes.
That's a new website.
And something new, the last couple of weeks is going real well. Roku, which is a little device you could hook up to your television. So you're sitting on your couch with a big bowl of popcorn, getting the show off your computer, watching it on your flat screen at home. How good is that? Also, Friday Night Features, which is on AM 1400 KSHP every Friday night. Friday Night Features from 6 to 10. They re-air all of the audio versions of the show. Every show seen on Vegas Video Network between 6 and 10 on AM 1400. We want to thank them a lot. So if you're rolling down the boulevard, coming from the golf course, on your way out for dinner or whatever, AM 1400 K-Shop, listen to the shows, okay? And it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. I want to ask you something before we get going, before we get to the four-letter word. In fact, let's do that right now. Okay, let's come up with the four-letter word for tonight, okay, Matt, and that is simply turf, okay, something that you should be very familiar with. Do you know the definition of turf?
I probably should.
Being in the business?
Being in the business and taking turf management classes, that
okay.
would probably be...
All right, give me your version. Just throw it out there.
I would say some form of grass plant that grows.
Well, pretty close. Upper layer of soil bound by grass and roots. Does that fit in?
Rhizome storm.
All right, that's pretty good. I had to look that up myself. I didn't know that. Real quickly, turf is very important when it comes to striking the ball properly. There are different forms of turf. What are the kinds that you deal with mostly when you go out to play golf?
In Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, we're in a temperate climate zone, so we're dealing with, during the hot summer months, there's some Bermuda growing in, and then in the winter, we have perennial rye. And so two completely different surfaces. And so the problem, there's a lot of personal preference between the two. A lot of people really prefer the cool season grasses.
Right.
And so we're also fortunate in the Las Vegas area to have bent greens. That's pretty nice.
One of my favorites.
And
that's a perfect segue because speaking about cool weather, turf. Let me bring up our sponsor right now because, as you know, it's still summertime here. It's still hot. Okay, you want to go play golf? You want to have the temperature a little cooler? All right, go out to Las Vegas Paiute Golf Resort. Always 8 to 10 degrees cooler, Matt. You know that.
Yes.
You're not going to sweat as much. That's why they call it 2,800 feet of no-stress golf. As you know, right now in the Valley, a lot of courses are closed because of overseeding, yours included. They never close because of overseeding. Got a plethora of water.
Unlimited water.
Three great courses, the Wolf, Snow Mountain, Sun Mountain, all in great shape. Talk about good turf. They have it out there, okay? So there's never any overseeding. They got a great card value out there. Three of my favorite courses. I know you like going out there a lot and playing.
I do. I'm a big Pete Dye fan.
Yeah, I am too, a great Pete Dye fan. So only 54-hole facility in the Valley. Locals, give them a call, 658-1400. If you're coming in from out of town, they got a toll-free number as well, 800-711-2833. You can always go online, check them out, make a tee time, and that is simply tee up at lvpaiute.com. So they do a great job. And again, we got some hot weather still left for another good 4, 5, 6 weeks. So as they say, if you head out to a northwest part of the Valley where they're located, you're going to stay a lot cooler than playing right here. All right, let's get to our first segment of the show. And that is something that our regular viewers know very well. If you're new to the show, and we hope you are, we simply call this Tournament Scorecard, and here it is. All right, welcome back, everybody. Golf and other four-letter words. I'm Dennis, he's Matt. As you know, there really wasn't a tournament last week on the PGA Tour because they took a little hiatus in the FedEx Cup race. They are starting that tomorrow, and we'll talk about that a little bit with the third one, and then goes to the Tour Championship. But I got something for you to fill up a little bit of time. Speaking of the FedEx Cup, what is your opinion of the FedEx Cup, Matt, the concept of the FedEx Cup and the way that it's set up? Talk to me about that.
I think it was a good idea. They basically brought in the idea of why compete with the NFL, which I think if we look at the Tour Championship's going to be done and out in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And then we're going to be in the fall series, but, the NFL is going to take main stage here, which is a great idea. So we're not playing the Tour Championship into late October and early November anymore. So from that standpoint, it's a really good idea that the point system, I don't know, I think the point system could use a little tweaking.
I agree with you.
The majors are really heavily weighted, and then the playoff are obviously heavily weighted themselves, but I think it needs some tweaking.
I do too, and obviously the whole idea was to create a little bit more buzz towards the end of the season on the PGA Tour, which frankly years ago they needed it. And they thought this was a good way to get that excitement going, to motivate the players, number one, to play in more events, number two, to play well so they could make it into the playoffs and keep going so they don't get eliminated. But do you think that at the end of the day, Matt, $10 million for the FedEx Cup winner might be a little bit over the top, a little excessive? Because I do.
I do. I mean, I really do. If you talk to those guys, obviously, they're going to say no because it's a lot of money. And, I mean, there's a lot of incentive to do that, but it's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's almost as much as you make a year, right? Giving lessons?
Close.
At a TPC. Anyway, Scott, we got live chat.
Yeah, Bill wants to know, if it was up to you guys, how would, in fact, you change the point system?
Good question.
You have to heavily weight majors. And you have to give, but I think you need to weight the point system to where you force players to play in small market events, you know, like the Reno event and things like that. I mean, because those events, they don't get as many FedEx Cup, at least to my knowledge, they don't get as many FedEx Cup points as your marquee events. And so I think it needs to be weighted in that structure.
I think that's an excellent point bring in.
Exactly. And I mean, the PGA Tour is already trying to get the system of players trying to go to like your John Deere Classics and stuff like that.
I think that's a great idea. We've talked about it on the show before, and I think the PGA Tour somehow should institute a way to actually force these players, I'm not saying every year, but once every 4 years maybe, to go to the smaller markets like the John Deere, the Reno Tahoe, to play those events. And I agree with you, and I think maybe the point system should be upped a little bit in some of the smaller markets to give these guys a little bit more incentive.
Yeah, I think that's number one. And then, you know, our event, our Las Vegas event, it's no different. You know,
Yeah, it is no different. We got issues with our event, as we talked about it before. That's pretty well documented. Of course, everybody knows that. Lives here, the Shriners and Justin Timberlake, trying to get it into the FedEx Cup race. I have some serious doubts about that, but they're trying. But you never know what's going to happen. All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to step away. Matt and I come back. We're going to get to our second segment, one that I really love, called Birdies and Bogeys. And, of course, this is brought to you by Golfer's Guide. So stay with us. Matt and I are going to be back with you right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Al Mann. Is that how you get them to do that all the time? Just sit there and be an ass. Is that it? Hey, I'm Al Mancini at Top of the Food Chain. You are watching the Vegas Video Network. We got big forks, big spoons. I got a big mouth. I got no guests.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. I'm Dennis Silvers, Matt Henderson from teaching facility, the PGA Tour Academy out at TPC Las Vegas, right here in Las Vegas. This segment brought to you by good friends at Golfer's Guide, certainly a publication you're familiar with. Seeing it, you find it at every private club, every muni club across the country. It's published regionally, as you know, has great feature articles on the regional golf courses, has some great instructional articles there, talk about discounters, so on and so forth. You could find it here in Las Vegas very, very easily. Just go to lasvegas.golfersguide.com. And as you can see on your screen, they're very kind enough to stream Golf and Other Four-Letter Words on their homepage. So anytime you have a chance to pick this up, it's really, really a handy guide as far as a breakdown of courses in your area. So again, lasvegas.golfersguide.com. All right, birdies and bogeys, man. I'm going to tell you a little gossip, some smack going on the PGA Tour and otherwise. Let me know if it's a birdie, bogey, double bogey, whatever, and why, okay? As you know, the Walker Cup just concluded with the United States team losing to Great Britain and Ireland. In one of the first day matches, this is interesting, Matt, Britain's Jack Sr. violated a rule by having his brother caddying for him. Doesn't seem like a big deal. The problem is his caddy is a professional golfer, which is banned by the rules, and this was not discovered until after the match. And bottom line, they didn't do anything. They let it go. So GB and I won the match over the other two Americans. Birdie or bogey?
I got to go bogey. That seems unorthodox. How many matches did he win? Or what was his record versus
This particular, I don't know what his record is, but he beat, him and the other, his playing partner, beat the two Americans in that particular match for that day. And it probably could have made a difference in the outcome of the first day's matches.
Right.
They discovered it afterwards, and they go, oh, well, it's too late to do anything.
That's almost, what if he would have had a 15th club in the bag, and then, it's no big deal at the end of that? It's still a rule.
I agree with you. I think it's a bogey too.
Yeah,
I don't think it would have made a difference in the outcome after the 2-day event, because I think we got whooped by 2 or 2.5 points or something. But it was a very good Walker Cup. Scott, somebody in the chat room.
Yeah, Nate wants to know. He said, "Dumb question. I actually think it's a pretty cool question. Are pro caddies close to pro level golfers?"
That fluctuates. Some of them are pretty good players, but I mean, it can go all the way from, I mean, there's guys that don't play the game, to guys that, like Camilo Villegas' caddy's perfect example. Like, he actually made it into Q School last year and made it through with nationwide status. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of them can play.
I think you're right. A lot of them are very good players, in their own right, but it's certainly not a criteria for them to become a caddy on the PGA Tour. I think it helps if you can walk the walk and talk the talk, as they rely on you a little bit more because you are a good player, and that may be very helpful, in a crucial situation. All right, the great Jack Nicklaus is going to be hosting a tournament with very non-traditional rules, Matt. The event will only be 12 holes, not the usual 18. There's going to be a time limit imposed on players of 2.5 hours. And for every 5 minutes after that, you're going to have a one-shot penalty, okay? The cups aren't going to be the standard 4.25 inches. They're going to be 8 inches. Why don't they just go to the putt-putt? You know what I'm saying? Birdie or bogey?
It's a birdie.
You think it's a birdie?
I think it's a birdie.
You're crazy. Why?
I think it's a cool idea. I think it sounds fun. Like, I mean, I can see where Jack's coming from. I mean, everything you listed right there is a pace of play.
I agree with you.
Thing, and so I'm a big proponent of pace of play, and so is the PGA of America right now, and so is the USGA, and it's a huge issue in the game of golf right now. And we all have limited amounts of time to play the game, and so if we structure things we can go play a full round of golf, or what we perceive as a full round of golf, in a smaller amount of time, we're all going to play more golf. The golf industry is going to benefit, and then our lives are going to benefit. I agree with that. I think it's awesome.
Well, I could see that point, but from a real traditional player, from a purist standpoint, they got to be pulling their hair out.
Well, and what type of players are playing in this? Is this a professional?
I think
event?
It's a professional event, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
so.
It's
going to be different.
It would be fun to watch, still.
Yeah, it would be fun to watch.
It'd be fun to watch.
Because, Jack, over the last couple of years, I guess maybe because he's becoming a real proponent. And I agree of the slow play of, trying to shake things up. It's going to be interesting. Scott, somebody in the chat room.
This is actually me. What makes that fun to watch? I mean, it's not harder.
It's different.
But it's not harder.
It's different, though.
It's different. It's easier. It's quicker.
I mean, I think it's the reason why I love watching match play so much. Like, the Ascension match play comes on, and it's so fun to watch because it's not stroke play. It's just different.
Is it the speed that you like? Because it's going to be easier to get in a bigger hole.
Right.
So what's the difference that makes it more enjoyable?
I mean, there's going to be lower scores, and then there's going to be – it's just a different thing. Like, we've got a bigger cup. I mean, there might be somebody running at some point to avoid penalty strokes.
My God, even Matt Henderson could get it in a cup that's 8 inches.
I don't know.
Why?
Anybody who's seen me putt might disagree with that.
I don't know. Maybe. All right. Matt, for the last 5 tournaments on the PGA Tour, as you probably know, have been won with players wielding a belly or broomstick putter. World number 2 Lee Westwood said he believes those are illegal according to his interpretation of the rules. The rules, according to him, says they should not be anchored. So he's taking it literally. So what do you think, birdie or bogey?
I got it. Anything like Lee Westwood says is a bogey, but it's a bogey. One, I'm a huge proponent of the longer putters, and really, if you go, I worked for Dave Pelz at one point, and so anytime you go through, and you look at his teachings, and you look at a lot of things, anytime you give yourself a fixed access point, you can make a true pendulum motion.
Right.
And so if you look at a putting stroke, we're all trying to make a pendulum-like motion. But you give yourself the fixed access point, is there going to be an advantage? Potentially. But you still have to make, you know, a putting stroke.
Right.
And so it's helped a lot of players.
Yeah, it has. And I just think, you know, it has helped a lot of players. And I just think it's kind of on a roll now, obviously. It's got a lot of buzz. It's kind of a fad type thing. And we'll see, you know, it's like, you know, when you go out and buy a new putter, you make everything. And after a couple of weeks, you can't make anything, and it goes in the garage. You got to have 1,000
right.
putters in the garage. It's like anything
kind
of wears off. So we'll see where this goes. All right, finally, the start of the KLM Open last week was delayed when it was discovered vandals damaged 4 greens. Posting on a website called Bite Back, a group took responsibility because they were upset that KLM flies thousands and thousands of animals around the world to laboratories for experimentation. And they basically said it's going to get worse year after year. They don't like what KLM is doing. Obviously, some animal rights activists. Birdie or bogey?
Well, bogey on the KLM stuff. I mean, animals, I don't know if I agree with that, but I mean, I bogey on the activism, too. You can't vandalize someone's property because of, I mean, you can express your opinions, but you can't vandalize someone else's stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely a bogey. Definitely. I mean, I understand the cause. I'm an animal lover, but, you know, that's reality.
Right.
That's absolutely reality. All right, well done. All right, I'll tell you what, time for our last segment, and this is where Matt is going to help you. He's going to help me. We've taken some email questions. And like I say, you could call in with some live chat and want some help on your game because he's the guys to give it to you. So let's get right into this. We call this next segment Handicap Helper. All right, welcome back, everybody. Time to get some instruction from Matt Henderson here on golf and other four-letter words, and he's not going to even charge you for it, so how about that? All right, Matt. Scott emails in, says he's confused about the height of the tee with his driver. He's hitting a larger face driver and is experimenting. Any advice?
I would have a definite tee height on anything you tee up. So you could go fairway, middle, you know, hybrid, whatever you're teeing up, you want the equator of the golf ball to be at the top line of the golf club. So if you're taking your driver right where the paint ends and the metal goes down at a 90-degree angle, you want the equator of the golf ball to be at that height. Because you ideally want to catch that golf ball just a hair above of center. That's where all the good players are trying to catch it.
Yeah, on the upswing. That's good advice. Will says that he's having trouble rotating his arms through the shot and thinks maybe he's holding the club too tightly. I certainly could relate to that.
Holy grip pressure, right?
Holy grip pressure, yeah.
And so it's kind of one of those things. Grip pressure itself is not that big a deal, but the forearm pressure is a huge deal. And so grip pressure, scale of 1 to 10, give your brain a frame of reference. That's a huge thing. Grip it as hard as you possibly can. That's a 10. Back it down to what you feel is 50% of that. That's a 5, and if you could get it to a 3 or so, 2 or 3, believe it or not, it's really light.
That's perfect.
But
that's good advice, though. I've read that a lot of good instructors tight.
Yeah,
and then back it down.
You have to get the key is give your brain a frame of reference.
Yeah, assuming you have a brain. Like a lot of people don't think I have a brain, but Scott, somebody in the live chat room.
Yeah, first of all, I think Matt would like to know that his Uncle Jim is watching right now.
All right.
And thinks that you're doing a wonderful job.
Okay.
And then Scott O'Matic has a question. He says, Happy Wednesday. Tiger Woods says, to commit to a swing, what say you? Tiger Woods. Fascinating
I think Tiger Woods himself needs to take that advice. I mean, you got to commit to a swing. I agree to that. If we're looking during the round, throughout the round, before the round, it would probably help. It's a hard game. Don't make it harder.
Yeah, it's hard enough. Danny wants to know what he can do to get a faster rotation through the ball so not to get blocked out. That's a good question, Danny.
So increase, go to orangewhiptrainer.com. All right. There's a training aid that can help you do that.
It's a very good training aid.
Yeah, it's a really good training aid. So you're trying to increase basically your lower body. You're trying to get it move faster. Without spending any money, maybe just take two golf balls, tape them to the head of a golf club, just move everything, get everything moving fast. The faster you move everything, we can start to create speed.
Yeah, because speed is equates to distance. That's, there's no secret about that. A lot of it does. There's some other stuff. I know that. Jeffrey says that he has a tendency to overswing. Any drills or advice to help out?
Oh, yeah, overswing via, I'm assuming.
He's probably
John Daly type stuff.
Yeah, John Daly type stuff.
I would go maintain connection with pressure points. So there's a pressure point right under where our left arm hits the chest cavity. So take something like a glove. Take an old glove out of the bag, put it right under the left arm right here, and maintain connection throughout the golf swing. If the glove falls out, you can stop the golf swing. You know exactly what happened. Maintain connection with the arms to the body.
That's very, very good advice. Last one, Richard needs some help with his iron play as he's digging and hitting most of his shots on the fat side.
The fat golf shot. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that is it's probably thin every once in a while too. And most of us, we throw the club head away, meaning the club head's passing the hands as before our hands are getting to the golf ball. So we want to come into the golf ball with a forward leaning shaft. So best drill you want to do for that is we want to get that fat golf shot out of there. Take two tees, put the ball in one tee. Put another tee about 2.5 inches in front of the tee. Remove the tee that you can see. It's an awesome drill.
Yeah, that's a very, very good drill. Very good drill. All right, that was some great advice. Real quickly, got some golf this week. We mentioned the third event of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club in Lamont, Illinois. LPGA Tour, Navistar LPGA Classic, Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. Fabulous, fabulous facility in Prattville, Alabama. I think they play, and I think they're through just about the ladies. Champions Tour, the Songdo IBD Championship. Jack Nicklaus Golf Club in Songdo City, South Korea. That's kind of unusual. IBD Championship. I understand they were thinking about calling it an IUD, but it wasn't quite a good fit. For the tournament. Is this on? Okay. Anyway, Nationwide Tour, Albertsons, Boise Open, Boise, Idaho, and the European Tour has no events. Real quickly, got a minute or two. If somebody wants to get a hold of you at the Tour Academy out at TPC Las Vegas, how do they do that?
Best way is email. It's M. Henderson, just like the city here, mhenderson@touracademy.com.
Okay. Or you can always, obviously, call TPC
or
Las
call
Vegas,
TPC Las Vegas,
and they'll get it.
They'll
forward it right to you at the Tour Academy. And he teaches with another great guy out there, Brandon Stooksbury. So these two guys work real well together. Very, very good. Good job, my friend.
A pleasure.
Good job. Real quickly, who's going to win the FedEx Cup? As long as we were talking about it tonight.
DJ. Yeah, be
Dustin Johnson.
I don't think it's actually going to happen, but I got fans out here who want me to say that.
It could be. It could be. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. Thanks for hanging out with us for the past 30 minutes. We're going to be right back here, same place, same time next week with another very, very good guest. So until then, fairways and greens, everybody. Hope you get a chance to play some golf real soon, and we'll see you all back next week. So long, everybody. Have a good one.